Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Welcome to the Road of Correction program with your host, Ricardo Bezalel. And that song we just finished playing there is a song called For This Day, Thank You, Lord. And it's sung for us by the sounds of Ruth and Boaz. And if you don't know how to say thank you, then you haven't started living life. Our discussion today centers on the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes, as they say. Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 3, or just verse 3, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the question is, yes, it's straightforward English, straightforward language, but what exactly does it mean? And to get an understanding of that, we need to then break it down and find out what it actually means and what Christ was saying, what Jesus was saying to us here, and what he is saying to us as of today. So, what does it mean, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word spirit is not referring to the human body. It tells us that the human life has got more than one dimension. So, there is the human flesh, which was formed from the dust of the earth, as we know from Genesis chapter 2, on verse 7. Where God formed the body of Adam from the dust of the earth. Take notice that I did not say that God created the body of Adam. No, God formed the body of Adam, because creation happens from nothing, whereas forming something is always with making it from something else which pre-existed what you are forming. So he formed the body from the dust of the earth. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Then there is also the human spirit, which we know was created from in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27. There where it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." So we know that there is these two dimensions which we see here. One in Genesis chapter 1 26 and 27. And then in the other one in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So we know from scripture that indeed there are two dimensions to a human life. And there is the spiritual dimension, which is the real you. And there is then the physical dimension, which is the envelope or the bag or the house which contains your human spirit. So the human spirit is the real you, is the real person. The person the person whom you call your friend, your parent, your relative, or your work colleague, or your school teacher, or whatever else relationships are out there. What you are calling your friend there, or whoever relationship it is, just the envelope which in which that person lives. But the real person is the human spirit on the inside, and you have never seen that person on the inside. Though they are your friend, or they are your child, or they are your parent, and you've had them for as long as you've been alive, but you really don't know them because they are a spirit on the inside. You only know their body. Therefore, strictly speaking, no person has ever seen another person. The world is full of strangers who do not know each other, spiritually speaking, but only know each other in the physical dimension. And this is the way to understand this portion of scripture there. So the only way to understand this is to look at it in the two dimensions, which is what it is there, as I have said. So to be poor in spirit means one has got to realize that there is more to life than the physical dimension, and that the spiritual dimension of life can only be understood in the light of the only God of heaven, and the only God, the only creator God of heaven and earth, who is a spirit. As we know from John chapter 4, Jesus said God is a spirit, and he is seeking those who worship him should worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, so God is a spirit. So that's the only way to understand this parable. It is understood in the light of the only God of heaven and earth, who is a spirit and took upon the human body of a man and became a human being. We see this in Philippians chapter 2 on verse 4. It says, let each of you let each of you look not only into his own interests, but also into the interests of others, having this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, or something, he did not consider it robbery, as the King James says, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him, or given him, the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this is the one who knows what the spiritual dimension is, actually, because he existed as a spirit and then he became a man. So he knows the two sides of life. So he put himself through that poverty, right? The poverty of becoming a human being, so that you and I can actually have got this knowledge that there is a spiritual dimension. So he became a human being so that as human beings we become aware that we have a spiritual dimension on which we need help to be able to be alive in that particular dimension. So we can then say, therefore, to be poor in spirit means one is set for a blessing, which only the spiritual dimension of the person can attain. It is a blessing to have this poverty in the spirit self, for the scriptures say, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there is a promise there. There is an outcome there, that if you are poor in spirit, there's an outcome. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the word theirs there point to the fact that it concerns actually more than one person, because salvation is going to be for as many as are going to believe in his name. So according to the gospel, the person who is blessed is the one whose human spirit will not and shall not perish in hell or in the lake of fire. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you are blessed, then you are going to have everlasting life, and you are not going to perish in hell, as the John 3 verse 16 says. So blessed are the poor in spirit. We already know what the blessing actually means. And again, in Acts chapter 3 verse 26, it says, unto you first, God, having you raised his son Jesus from the dead, sent him. This resurrected Savior Jesus Christ, God sent him to bless you. How? In turning away every one of you from your iniquities. And that is the true blessing, not of cars and houses and things like that. This is the true blessing of being turned away from your wicked ways, being turned away from destruction, being turned away from a life in hell, being turned away from that eternal destruction is actually what is the true blessing. So once you are turned away from your wicked ways, it means you have been resurrected from the death of Adam, in that realization that you are born dead in the death of Adam, which Adam died in the Garden of Eden and passed to all humanity, becomes the basic ingredient of realizing your spiritual poverty. Knowing the reality of what the scriptures say about the journey of human life from the beginning until now is essential if one is to be poor in spirit. When you trace the origins of human life, you can see where the poverty in spirit started from. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, which one man is Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Why? Because all have sinned and all fall short the glory of God. Why? Because we were born of a spiritually dead man called Adam. But if you do not subscribe to the narrative of the biblical scriptures concerning the journey of human life of the human race, then you are indeed very rich in your spirit self and you have need of nothing. But the reality is that human life was designed by God, and God has given his resurrected son to explain what life is and how to begin, and how this life began to be, and how we can also begin to live as far as God is concerned, and how it will be concluded, and how our lives also will be concluded. All of this is narrated in the declarations of what Christ Jesus has said to us. So Jesus declared that there is a place called the kingdom of heaven, and that there is also another place called hell and the lake of fire. So you have a role to play as to where you will end up, my friend. The first death is the death which Adam to all humanity. And then there are four types of death, you see. So the first one is what Adam gave to all humanity. The second death is being cast into hell and into the lake of fire. Then the third death is the physical, mortal death, which people, when die, they die in hospital and things like that, or in a car accident or something. And the fourth death is the death one dies when they become a believer in Christ as the Creator God, who became Savior of the world. So when you rise into newness of life and you put away the desires of the flesh to live according to the Spirit, that's a form of death, and that is death type 4. So when the scripture say in Revelation chapter 2 on verse 11 says, who is an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. That second death is referring being cast into the lake of fire. And that is what we say, that the one who is blessed, when Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He was referring to not being cast into the lake of fire. He was referring to not suffering the second death. And that is what he was talking about. So the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death, he says. And then Revelation 21 verse 6 says, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but these ones who have took part in the first resurrections will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14 says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire is the second death. So the blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It means you're going to avoid all these things in the second death and the lake of fire. So you are, in that manner, you are actually blessed. So What is the blessedness which Matthew chapter 5, 3 is talking about? It is all about access to eternal life in heaven, and God is sure of this provision which he has made, and he even went to the extent of making a declaration about it when he said, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So this statement of theirs is the kingdom of heaven is a statement concerning the human spirit, not the human body or the human flesh, because your human body and the human flesh are not going to heaven. It's only the human spirit which will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So the true blessing is having access to eternal life, and eternal life which is only available through the gospel of the resurrected God Jesus Christ. The moment a person who was dead in the death of Adam becomes alive in Christ, that blessing is so great that even angels in heaven celebrate that spiritual birth. We see this in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, where it says, "In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of God, in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents," which means they've been found by the gospel and they've been accepted into the kingdom, and they've received and accepted Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So people don't repent out of their own will. The grace of Christ is the opportunity to hear the true gospel and to be convicted by that gospel instead of being offended by it. The effect and outcome of the gospel in the human spirit is that which is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, which says that, "But you are a chosen generation," meaning your spirit man, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." So this transition through the grace of Christ is what causes the believer to become a new creature and have the blessedness of the Spirit, so that you not see eternal death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new." That power to raise, that power that raised Jesus from the dead is the one which enables that newness of life to take place. And we see this again in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So you are blessed if you have gone through this transition here, or translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the kingdom of light, which is the Son Jesus Christ. So being poor in spirit makes you realize that salvation is indeed by grace alone, and you have nothing to please God with except that which God himself has made available to your human spirit, which is the faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection is what makes a difference in whether one remains dead whether one remains dead in the death of Adam, or one becomes alive into the life of Christ. Dead in Adam and dead in sin, or alive in Christ and dead to sin. You see, the one who is dead in sin is still dead in the death of Adam, but the one who is dead to sin is alive in the resurrection of Christ. The one who is now alive in the resurrection of Christ is also the one who is poor and in spirit, and it is him that realizes that the truth that is declared in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. The believer in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, where it says that "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see, so it is God who causes that blessedness to come upon you, and this blessedness of being poor in spirit elevates the believer to where the scriptures become a physical reality, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," like we said before, "is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." So walking in newness of life in Christ is the essence of what it is to be poor in spirit and being part of the kingdom of heaven. So the blessedness of the one who is poor in spirit cannot be revoked, because it can be depended upon and it is a seal of God which is put on those who believe. So the true gospel of the kingdom cannot be vetted by money or material possessions or social status or of the human being. The gospel of the kingdom is only vetted by how much it is centered on the resurrection of the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, who became a man. It is his resurrection which gives people freedom from eternal condemnation, and which gives people from eternal condemnation there. So the true gospel of Christ, like I said, cannot be vetted by material possessions or social status of the human being. The kingdom is only vetted by how much it is centered on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 19 verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So what this young ruler missed is that the poor which Jesus was referring to was not the beggars in the streets and the sick in hospital and the prisoners in jail and the widows and the orphans in the villages who have no food. No, that is not the poor which Jesus was referring to. The poor which Jesus was referring to was the human spirit of the young ruler. This young ruler did not know that the riches he had were only in the physical and not in the spiritual. Spiritually speaking, this young ruler was poor and was destitute, but he did not know about that type of poverty. Yeah? He was rich in the physical. He had money in his pocket, so he thought he was rich. So, but Jesus was referring to spiritual poverty. He was literally telling him that parable, blessed are the poor in spirit. So the young ruler did not know that the blessed are the poor in spirit, is for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He did not know that. That's why he went away sorrowful, because if he had known, he would have asked, how do I do this? So the kingdom of heaven happens only the kingdom of heaven happens only after the day of judgment. And before the day of judgment, believers are in the kingdom of God. Like now, after the resurrection of Christ, today we are in the kingdom of God. The New Testament church is the kingdom of God. So we are in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will end when Jesus Christ returns as judge of the world. That's when the kingdom of God will end and transition into the kingdom of heaven. So soon after the judgment day is concluded, those that go into the lake of fire will be bundled into the lake of fire, and those that to inherit eternal life in heaven will enter then into the kingdom of heaven. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning to read verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So the human body is not going to heaven, but it is the human spirit which is going to be judged when you go before the judgment seat of Christ. And you are going to be judged about, what did you do with the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What did you do with it? If you thought you were so rich that you didn't need the gospel of Christ because you have filled your spirit self with other things, then obviously you're going to suffer loss. But if you see yourself now as being spiritually poor, that you're going to need the resurrection of Christ to make you alive spiritually, then you're going to become alive unto God, and judgment day will not be a terror to you. So the things done in the body are the things done using your human body, but your human spirit is supposed to be the one in charge of your human body, you see. So if you are aware that you are poor in spirit, you would then depend fully on the gospel of Christ and his Holy Spirit to help you live the life you are supposed to live in the kingdom of God and his New Testament church. So the simple matter is that you cannot be in the kingdom of heaven if you have never been in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven will not come as a surprise. It will happen only to those who were and are citizens of the kingdom of God. So there is the There's no shortcuts, my friend. There's no shortcuts at all. You can say, I was born in a church. I've attended church all my life. I've put on a church uniform. I did catechism. I was sprinkled with water, blah, 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 blah. No, you got to be in the kingdom of God now if you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven when judgment day comes. If you were never the citizen of the kingdom of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, there is no way you will ever be the citizen of the kingdom of heaven. It is straightforward as that. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11 says, for both the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers or call them brethren. So can Jesus call you a brother as we speak? If he cannot call you a brother according to what you believe on the inside, then you are not part of his kingdom. You are not part of his kingdom. In Acts chapter 17 on verse 28, it says, for in him we live, in him who, the resurrected Jesus Christ, we live and move and have our being. And if this is not your testimony, then you are not part of the kingdom of God. And if you are not part of the kingdom of God, you cannot be part of the kingdom of heaven, which was mentioned, the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You got to start off by being a citizen of the kingdom of God in the here and now. Furthermore, in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9, it says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live, you see, and be alive? Yeah, so the Father of spirits, that is the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ. So one can ask, how can you say, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and be alive? This is where being poor in spirit really takes shape, because if you do not realize that you are dead in the death of Adam, then as far as you are concerned, you are alive spiritually because you have need of nothing. If you think that you are alive spiritually, then you remain dead in the death of Adam. And if you remain dead in the death of Adam, then you cannot be part of the kingdom of God. And if you are not part of the kingdom of God in the here and now, then you shall never be part of the kingdom of heaven. And if you are not part of the kingdom of heaven, then you are not going to go into heaven itself. And you are truly destined to perish in the lake of fire. You are going to the lake of fire, which is eternal condemnation. And you would have truly perished, which is why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who believes in this resurrected Jesus should not perish. But if you pass away from this earth without being part of the kingdom of God now, then you have truly perished, my friend, and you are destined for the lake of fire. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. That word surely die there means you shall perish. That word surely die there means that you shall not be part of the kingdom of heaven. Something else has got to happen in order for you to be turned around to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, if you remain dead after the sin of Adam, who ate the tree of death and died, and he passed that death to all humanity, if you remain dead in that death, my friend, it means you are going to perish. It means you will not be part of the kingdom of heaven. It means being condemned into the lake of fire. It means falling into the second death. It means eternal condemnation in the lake of fire, which is the cemetery or the graveyard of human spirits, which never took part in the resurrection from the death of Adam. And this is what it is, my friend, that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are narrating and bringing in an understanding which we all need to have if we are to survive this trip, if we are to survive this pilgrimage which we are going through whilst we are here, we are still here on this earth. And I am saying to us, and I am saying to you, my friends, that this is what it means, that we need to be poor in spirit, which means a realization that without the resurrection of Christ, we are nothing. Without Christ rising again from the dead and giving us his Holy Spirit, we remain dead in the death of Adam. And that realization that we cannot save ourselves, and that realization that there is nothing physical which we can do which can give life to our human spirit except we we allow the grace of Christ to work on our dead human spirit so that using the power of his resurrection, he can raise us up from that resurrection. Through that resurrection, which he resurrected himself, he can raise us up from the death of Adam. That is the only way we can escape this death which Adam gave to all humanity, my friend. It's called the original sin. And this original sin means everybody is born spiritually dead, and you cannot do anything about it except you allow the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the resurrection power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God. Unless you allow that power, that grace to work on your human spirit, you remain dead. And that death is something which cannot be reversed except in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one and only one who ever rose again from the dead. And we're going to go to another song. Again, it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us. Because you love us, Jesus. Because Jesus has loved us so much, he died and rose again for us so that we can be rich in spirit and enter into heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we said, in order for you to experience that blessedness, you need the grace to work on you so that you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. And then once you are a kingdom citizen, you can then, after Judgment Day, become a citizen of heaven, which is the kingdom of heaven in eternity where God dwells. But if you are not part of the kingdom of God before you pass away from this earth, then you will not be part of the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of God is in the here and now, and it's all centered on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 15 verse 16 says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So you can see there that everything is centered on the resurrection of Christ. You miss the resurrection, you miss everything else. You are poor. When you are poor in spirit, you accept that without Christ Jesus, the resurrected Savior, you are dead in your spirit self. You are still dead in the death which Adam passed to you. But if the grace of Christ finds you, it will give you the realization that you are indeed poor, dead in your spirit self, and that it is only the resurrected Christ that can make you alive again. And without his resurrection, you are going to remain dead in the death which you were born with from Adam. Now, that young ruler we spoke about before, who refused to go sell his goods and give to the poor and then come and follow Jesus, he refused to give up his pride and his sense of self-actualization. He was told, go sell. But he should have asked Jesus, why should I sell instead of giving away? Why should I sell? But he did not ask that crucial question. He did not know that when Jesus said to him, what he said to him there, when he was actually telling him the parable, you see. And in Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 19 verse 21 says, Jesus says to him, if you would be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. The young man did not realize that giving to the poor does not give access to heaven. So he should have seen it was a trick question here. The major mistake which the rich young ruler made was that he did not know the identity of who the poor, which Jesus was talking about. Who are the poor? He did not know which poor Jesus was referring to. Give to the poor was not a mandate for him to be philanthropic. The poor referred to his human spirit. He had to go sell. What he had to go sell was his sense of pride and his sense of self reliance, to the point that he thought what he had in the flesh was equivalent to the riches of the spiritual dimension of life. He did not realize that heaven is a spiritual place and nothing of the physical material things can enter therein. So Jesus was simply trying to make him realize that you got all these possessions, but they will not take you into eternal life. In your mindset, get rid of them and then let your spirit self become the dominant one, and then come follow me. Worship me in spirit and in truth. So as of today, many of the physically rich people have actually started charitable organizations and giving lots of money away to the financially poor people of the world. They do this because they misunderstood what Jesus directed this young rich ruler to do. So philanthropy is not, which is another fancy word for giving to the poor, giving to charity and so forth, is not another way of getting into the kingdom of heaven. It's not a shortcut into the kingdom of heaven. It's not a shortcut into the kingdom of God. To get into the kingdom of heaven, one has got to first enter into the kingdom of God, and that only happens when one has believed the true gospel of Christ and realized that they can only be saved by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 25, he says, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So he is referring to the spiritual self, not the physical. It's the spiritual self. The Bible is a spiritual book, and it's got to be approached in that manner. So Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, God says, but God commanded his love toward us in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed to all men and all humanity, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3:23 actually I'm adding on to there. And then Romans 5:13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Death continued to reign, and that death is continuing to reign right now, which is why you need the resurrected Savior to save you from the death of Adam. And nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them which had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also was the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, if Adam caused everybody to be born dead, that's what it means here, how much more by the grace of God, by the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was with the one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one, by Adam, to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, which means Christ took upon himself all the sin of the world, and he has made those who believe in on him to be justified before God. For if by one man's offense, if by Adam's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, into the lake of fire, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift of life, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, that blessedness which he was talking about, the free gift, which is what it is the of righteousness shall. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous and enter into the kingdom of heaven. However, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Christ Jesus. And that verse 21 there of Romans chapter 5 is what actually he explains Matthew chapter 5, which is talking about the blessed is the poor in spirit, and for theirs is the kingdom of God. And says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign, blessed are the poor, might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. And that's what it means, that by the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, because the grace will be reigning through Jesus Christ unto eternal life by Jesus Christ in heaven, who is the God of all. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory, in whom also you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You see, that is the blessed of the poor in spirit, because there is a guarantee here, which is the Holy Spirit. You see, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that's when we remain poor in spirit, knowing that we got to depend on the gospel, we got to depend on the Holy Spirit, you got to depend on the resurrection of Christ in order for us to make it into heaven. That's what the prophet of the spirit means. And when we are doing that, then we are ditching the things of the flesh, we're leaving the things of the flesh and following after the things of the resurrection, which are spiritual. And Romans chapter 8 then becomes true unto us, where it says from verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, you are blessed, the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you are made free from the law of sin and death, so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Why? So that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And as we are walking according to the Spirit, we are actually being citizens of the kingdom of God in the here and now. And that is what is going to propel us into the kingdom of heaven. And verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the fleshy mind, the mind of the physical world of this earth is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, which is to the law of God, which is what? The resurrection of Christ. For it is not subject to the resurrection of Christ, for indeed, can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. Why? Because you are poor in spirit, because you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his, you see. Why do you not have the Spirit of Christ? Because you don't believe in his resurrection. Why do you not believe in his resurrection? Because you are full of pride. You are full of other things, which are the death of Adam and everything else. So you don't have the Spirit of the resurrection of Christ. So you are not his. You don't belong to him. And if Christ is in you, the body, though the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And that is what will get you into the kingdom of heaven, because that the righteousness, which is of the resurrection of Christ, is what keeps you in the kingdom of God and eventually enter into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is already here on earth. The kingdom of God came the same day the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and Jesus is the king over that spiritual kingdom. He is the king now as we speak. So citizens of that kingdom are only those who are poor in spirit, who fully depend on Christ and in the resurrected Christ alone for their salvation. If you are tithing, and then you are not in the kingdom of God. If you have got another human being as your spiritual father, then you are not part of the kingdom of God. If you have got a reverend or a priest or a bishop or any of these other fancy titles there, which are not part of the fivefold ministry, who is a leader of your congregation, then you are not part of the kingdom of God. You are still poor spiritually, so you will not take part in the kingdom of heaven, because you are not part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, according to Romans chapter 14 verse 17, says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it is time for you to become part of the kingdom of God, my friend, because if you are not going to belong to the kingdom of God, then you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, and you remain spiritually rich but yet spiritually poor. You're gonna remain physically rich but spiritually dead in the death of Adam. So Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, he says, but I say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, so if you walk in the Spirit, it means you are allowing the Spirit of Christ to be your guide, which means you are saying your own human spirit is poor and you need a guide to help you on this pilgrimage on this earth. For those for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For those that are for these are opposed one to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit of Christ, you are not under the law of Moses. You are now you're not under the law of Moses. Now the works of the law of the works of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I was warned before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Which means you will not become the kingdom or part of the kingdom of God as we speak in the here and now. But the spirit, but the fruit of the spirit is love, peace, joy, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires. Which means they are actually what? Poor in spirit. You see. So, How do you crucify the flesh and its desires? How do you do that? You do that by realizing that the desires which are coming up in your flesh are actually arising from the fact that you are born spiritually dead in the death of Adam. And because you are spiritually dead in the death of Adam, your spirit man is dead to the voice of God. Your spirit man is dead to the gospel of Christ, but your flesh, your body, and the desires of your flesh and your emotions, right, and the sensualities of your flesh, they are alive to the demands of what the flesh wants. They are alive to the temptations of the devil. They are alive to what the natural world desires. And as a result of that, you find that by the time you come to know the true gospel, your flesh is so strong that your flesh is ruling over your spirit. But in order for your spirit to rule over your flesh, what you need to do is to hear, like this gospel we've been speaking about today. You learn it, you understand it, and in that process of doing that, the Holy Spirit of Christ will be ministering to your human spirit and allowing that human spirit to come back to life. And the coming back to life of that human spirit is what is called being led by the Spirit, and it is called born again. It is so crucial that you understand, my listener, that the understanding that you are born spiritually dead in the death of Adam will make you understand the scriptures in a totally different way. Take Isaiah 53, for example, which talks about, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Now, because it's repeated again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Now, if by his stripes we are healed, means that you are healed from typhoid or from COVID or from ulcers or from heart disease or whatever diseases are out there. If that's what it means, then you got to answer the question which says, Jesus healed thousands and thousands of people before he suffered these stripes. He healed so many people and even resurrected quite a few people from the dead before he suffered these stripes on the cross. So if Jesus was healing the sick before he had the stripes on him, how was he healing them? For you now to claim that by his stripes you are healed means it means he is going to heal you from diabetes or from cancer or from whatever disease, diphtheria, you name all those diseases out there. If that's what it means, if that's the major thing of what it means, then how did he heal the people before he was crucified, before he was tortured, before he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane? How did he heal them? You see, so it clearly means that by his stripes we are healed has got a deeper or a higher meaning than the healing of your ulcers or the healing of your migraine headache. Because He was healing people before the stripes. So this can only mean the other dimension of what it means is that the death of Adam, which Adam died in the garden, is a form of disease. Because though you are spiritually dead, yet you are physically alive. Well, that's what a disease does, isn't it? It's killing your members inside you, yet you are alive. And that's why it's called disease. Disease. You see, so the death of Adam is a form of disease. And by the stripes of Christ Jesus, we are healed from the death of Adam so that we can rise, resurrect in that first resurrection from the death of Adam and be alive to the resurrection of Christ. And that resurrection is what Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 is actually referring to. And if we become alive to Christ and alive from the death of Adam, then we qualify to be what's called born again. You see, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but Christ has made you alive and has brought you into newness of life. So what it means now, my friend, is that we need a proper overhaul of what and how we see the scriptures. The scriptures are clear. They are spiritual. And that spirituality of the scriptures is the main purpose of why we've got the scriptures. And when we get the spiritual thing, we got the spiritual meaning of the scriptures correct, then the physical, other physical things will happen. Because Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is the life. Jesus Christ translates us from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. In that kingdom of Christ, diseases can be healed, people can rise from the dead physically and so forth, but that's a byproduct of what it actually means. By his stripes we are healed. It means that we are raised from the death of Adam. Therefore, blessed are the poor in spirit means that you've come to know that you were dead in the death of Adam, but by the stripes of Christ you are healed. You've come to know that without Christ suffering on that cross to make you resurrect from the death of Adam, you were never ever going to be alive. You were never ever going to know the kingdom of God and eventually the kingdom of heaven. So, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we've read from Galatians chapter 5 when we saw the works of the flesh and all those things which were listed there. And we saw the fruits of the spirit man who has been resurrected by the Holy Spirit from the death of Adam. And he says, against such there is no law. And verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5 says that if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with that Spirit, with the Spirit of Christ. Why? Because we got to remain in the kingdom of God so that when judgment day comes, we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45 says that and so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. So I say, it is your opportunity, my friend. This is your opportunity, my friend. If you have realized and become aware of your spiritual poverty, which only the resurrected Savior Jesus can solve, then this is the time to make a new start, my beloved. It is the time to make a new start, my friend. It is the time you got to say this confession and this declaration before God as your first step in entering into the kingdom of heaven. Because what this declaration will help you enter into the kingdom of God and then eventually into the kingdom of heaven. So You say this, meaning it for yourself. It's not me saying it for you. You say it for yourself, but I'm having to guide you. So you say, Lord Jesus Christ, only you are the true Savior, the Son of the Most High God. I am a sinner, spiritually dead in the death of Adam, and only you, Jesus Christ, can save me from my destruction. I confess, believing with my heart, that you died for my sins according to the scriptures and that you were raised the third day according to the scriptures. May you continue to be exalted as King over all. By your grace, I will worship you all the days of my life. Amen. And I tell you, my friend, if you have gone, you have done this declaration which we have guided you to say here, it is only the beginning the journey begins here, because you will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless you keep yourself in the kingdom of God. And it is only by grace, the grace of Christ, that you will be and continue to walk in newness of life in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God will evolve or will be changed into the kingdom of heaven. But before that happens, there is judgment day. And we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. And this is my encouragement, my friend, that this life is only temporary, but the life ahead in the kingdom of heaven is the one which is forever. Choose wisely, my friend, and that's my encouragement for you in this day. We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com. Oh, baby, me and you know you.
Hustle. Yeah. Last year, flight plans, world tour.
Afro beats. We do bad things for good reasons. You know, I know, you know. And we did two good things.
I'm a piano.
Afro sounds. Africana. Radio Africana.